Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics, a program designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God. Pastor Brian is currently teaching through a series of topical studies, and coming up, we're learning all about the Lord Jesus as our great high priest and mediator between God and us. So let's look in our Bibles at the book of Exodus, chapter 28, verses 1 and 2, as we go back to basics.
Verse 1, now take Aaron your brother. God spoke to Moses and his sons with him from among the children of Israel, that he may minister to me as priest. Aaron and Aaron's sons, Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar. And you shall make holy garments for Aaron your brother, for glory and for beauty. Now down in verse 9, then you shall take two onyx stones and engrave on them the name of the sons of Israel. Verse 12, and you shall put the two onyx stones on the shoulders of the ephod as memorial stones for the sons of Israel. So Aaron shall bear their names before the Lord on his two shoulders as a memorial. Now in verse 15, you shall make the breastplate of judgment, artistically woven according to the workmanship of the ephod. You shall make it of gold, blue, purple, and scarlet thread, and fine woven linen you shall make it. Verse 17, and you shall put settings of stone in it, four rows of stone. Verse 21, and the stone shall have the names of the sons of Israel, 12 according to their names, like the engravings of a signet, each one with its own name, and they shall be according to the 12 tribes. And now finally, verse 29, so Aaron shall bear the names of the sons of Israel on the breastplate of judgment over his heart when he comes into the holy place as a memorial before the Lord continually. The person and ministry of the high priest of Israel was a type or a picture of our great high priest, Jesus Christ. Just as the high priest served as mediator, just as he offered sacrifice to atone for sin, and just as he interceded for the people of Israel, so Christ has done and continues to do for us. As we've pointed out previously, many of the things that we find in the Old Testament, especially here in the books of the law, they would point ultimately, prophetically, to greater things. And this whole system that is in the process of being developed by God's instruction to Moses, the tabernacle, and all of the various furnishings that were part of the tabernacle, and now the priesthood being established and the garments being woven together and ultimately the sacrifices being implemented, all of these things serve temporarily a purpose, but all of them pointed to a greater picture that would one day be fulfilled when Christ would come into the world. And so just as the priest served as the mediator and he was there to offer the sacrifices and he was there as the one making intercession and many other things, so these things all pointed to Christ. And what we want to do is we want to look at how Christ has fulfilled these various ministries and offices. So first of all, just as the priest mediated for the people, so Christ is our mediator. Now, contrary to the opinion of some, man needs someone to mediate between himself and God. There are many people that would dispute this or reject this idea. There are many that would say, I go directly to God. I don't need any kind of mediation. I don't need a priesthood. I don't need a sacrifice. I just have a direct access to God. Those who presume that God can be directly approached are gravely mistaken. It is a figment of their imagination that they are approaching God. They're not approaching God at all. Something that I find quite ironic is I have had, myself personally, a number of Jewish people tell me this very thing. Religious Jews will sort of condescendingly look down on us and say, well, you know, I can see why you Gentiles need a mediator. That's pretty obvious, but we don't need any such thing. We are the chosen people. We're God's people. We go straight to God. The irony of that is their entire system originally taught them the exact opposite. The whole system taught them that no man could directly approach God. He had to go through the mediation of the sacrifices, the mediation through the priesthood, and so forth. But, of course, Judaism today is much different than it was in biblical times. They no longer see the necessity so much of the sacrifices and the priesthood and all of that. But whether you're Jewish or whether you're of some other religious persuasion or whether you're just one of those people that have made up your own religion and you have the confidence that you just go to God, you don't need preachers or priests or any of that to help you, this is, as I said, a mistake. Even Job, so many centuries ago, understood the need for a mediator. He declared this in Job chapter 9, verse 33. He said, "For he," speaking of God, "is not a man as I am, that I may answer him, and that we should go to court together," to court to discuss our case. He says, "Nor is there any mediator between us who may lay his hand on us both." Job recognized that there is a great gulf between man and God, and that unless there's someone to go between us, there is no possible way that we are going to be able to come before God's presence. Now, the beautiful thing is that what Job was longing for has been realized through Christ. The New Testament tells us in Paul's letter to Timothy, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." So just as the priest was the mediator for Israel under that old covenant system, so Christ has become the mediator, but not just for Israel. He's become the mediator for all people. So there's one God and there's only one mediator between God and men, and that is the man Christ Jesus. So Jesus serves as the mediator. Another statement in the New Testament to that effect, although there are more, we'll just look at one more. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6 says, "But now he," speaking of Christ, "has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is also mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises." So make no mistake about it, Christ alone is the one mediator between God and men. He is the mediator of this better covenant. Just as the ancient high priest was there to mediate, that was a picture of what Christ would ultimately come to do. And so as Job cried out, "Someone that may lay a hand on us both." You see, the reason Jesus can mediate between us and God is because he is both God and man simultaneously. And because he's God, he can access God. He can lay a hand on the Father, if you will, and he can lay a hand on humanity, and he becomes the bridge. He bridges the gap between us. He alone is able to do that because he is both God and man. So Christ, our great high priest, is our mediator. But the priest also offered sacrifices. Now, the problem with the Old Testament sacrifices is, in the end, they really were ineffective in completely washing away sin. What they were capable of doing was only temporarily covering up sin. And so there was never, under the Old Testament system, there was never a complete putting away of sin. As a matter of fact, every year there was a reminder of the fact that people had sinned by the necessity of offering up the various sacrifices. But Christ, of course, brought the one complete and final sacrifice. Hebrews chapter 9 states this, "But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood. He entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. Not that he should offer himself often, as the high priest enters the most holy place every year with the blood of another. He then would have had to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now, once at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin," listen, "by the sacrifice of himself." Just as the priest had to offer sacrifices, so Christ had something to offer. But it wasn't the blood of bulls and goats, or as it says here, it wasn't the blood of calves and goats that could never really take away sin. It was his own blood that he offered up. Again, in the 10th chapter of Hebrews, it says, "And every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices," listen, "which can never take away sins." They could never take away sins. But this man, Jesus Christ, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin forever. So you see, all of these sacrifices, people often ask the question, well, why was there the sacrificial system and all of these animals that were slain and all of that bloody mess? These were all pointing forward to the ultimate sacrifice that Christ would make of himself when he offered one sacrifice forever. He then sat down at the right hand of God. An interesting little side note is that in the tabernacle where the priests ministered, there were various furnishings. We'll see that tonight as we go through these chapters. There was the table with the showbread upon it. There was the lampstand. And there was the altar of incense. And then behind the veil, there was the Ark of the Covenant. But there was no place in the tabernacle for the priest to sit or to rest, indicating that the work of atonement was never completed. It was never finished. But Jesus, having offered the one sacrifice for sin forever, notice what it says. It says that he sat down at the right hand of God. Having sat down indicates that he completed the task. Sacrifice has been made. Sin is now forgiven. So he's the mediator. He's offered the sacrifice, but it's been the sacrifice of himself. He's also, as was the priest, he's also our intercessor. To intercede means to pray for. And so the priest, this was a main responsibility of the priest. He was to go before God as the representative and therefore as the intercessor on behalf of the people. But again, the weakness in the old system was seen here as well, inasmuch as the priests could not go on indefinitely with their ministry. They were prevented from doing so by dying. But the point that's made in Hebrews, the passage that we read here together this morning, is that one of the glories of Christ is that he never dies. But he, because he continues or he lives forever, he has an unchangeable priesthood, or he has a priesthood that is incapable of passing on to a successor. There's no need to pass it on to a successor because Christ lives continually. And it says, therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God by him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. So you see, Christ always lives to make intercession for us. Now, we know that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. We know that he paid the price for our sin. We understand that he is the mediator. He's the one who connects us with God. But we also need to realize that the ministry of Jesus toward us has not stopped with those things. Jesus' present ministry is that of prayer. Jesus prays for us. He intercedes for us at the right hand of God. Now, when people tell me that they're praying for me, I am blessed by that. I'm so thankful that so many people pray for me, and I rejoice in that. But as happy as I am about that, I'll tell you, knowing that Jesus prays for me, that is the most exciting thing of all. Because Jesus, of course, he prays for me according to the will of God, because he knows the will of God. Now, I can pray for myself, and I can pray for you, and you can pray for me, and that's all wonderful and good, and thank God we do it for each other. But you know, as well as I do, that we all find ourselves quite often in that place where it's hard to pray because we don't really know what God's will is. We think that a certain thing would be the right thing, and we pray, well, Lord, this is what I think. I ask you this. But, you know, we all battle with that uncertainty concerning God's will. So sometimes we can be praying passionately, but we're praying in the wrong direction, maybe. We're praying for something other than God's will, simply because we're limited in that area. But the beautiful thing about Christ is that he knows the will of God, and he makes intercession for us according to the will of God. So right now, this minute, as we're gathered here, you know what Jesus is doing? He is at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. Isn't that a glorious thing to know? And I'll tell you, just falling back on that so many times to know, okay, Lord, you're praying for me. And I know your prayers are heard. And I know your prayers are going to get answered. And I know you're praying the right thing. You remember when Jesus said to Peter on that one occasion, he said, Simon, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. I bet you that scared Simon Peter to death. I know it would scare me if the Lord told me that. But I know Simon was immediately encouraged when Jesus added these words, but I have prayed for you that your faith would not fail. So when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. Oh, boy. Whew. Thank you, Lord, that you're praying for me. But that's the confidence that we have today, that the Lord is ministering presently as our priest, and there he is praying for us at the right hand of the Father, praying for us according to God's will. Now, as we go back and look at the priesthood, as we read about it here in Exodus, the 28th chapter and following, there are certain things that we need to consider that help us to understand even more thoroughly the wonder and the glory of this high priestly ministry that the Lord has for us. We understand there he is as the mediator. We understand that he made that one sacrifice forever. We understand that he's making intercession for us presently according to the will of God. But you know, we also need to know, in a sense, we need to know his heart in all of this. And amazingly to me, in the very garments that the priest was to wear, there was a message about the love and the concern of God being communicated through the garments themselves. Now, as we read there, remember, it said that the Lord had said to Moses that they were to make garments for Aaron and his sons, holy garments for glory and for beauty. So they were for glory and for beauty. These garments were to distinguish the high priest from every other person in Israel, but even beyond that, every other person on earth. The high priest was to be distinguished by these garments. And when it says that the garments were to be for glory, the idea is there that there would be a sense of the divine, that there would be some sense that there was some divine thing happening here as people would behold the high priest in these garments. Now, there are two things in regard to the garment that I want to focus on here for a couple of moments. And they are, first of all, the memorial stones, and then secondly, the breastplate. Now, as we read there, they were to take two onyx stones, precious stones, and they were to engrave them with the names of the sons of Israel, and then the priest was to bear upon his shoulders those onyx stones. Now, there's a message that is being communicated in that. So each stone is precious, and each of the names of the tribes are there engraved, six in one stone, six in the other, and they are then borne upon the shoulder of the priest. And the message that's being communicated to that is the message of Christ's strength and power to carry us through to glory. The shoulder is that one place on the body that is capable of bearing the most weight. And so there's imagery here. There's a word picture here, and it is the picture of the ability of Christ to complete the work he started in us. Remember those great passages? He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Or speaking of Christ, he is both the author and the finisher of our faith. Those are so encouraging because they tell us God's not going to fail in his task. He's going to get us through to the other side. He's going to see us through the difficulties of life. He has the strength. He has the power to do it. Now, inasmuch as the names were there together on these two stones, all 12 in total, the picture here is more of the church collectively, that the Lord has the strength and he will supply the power and he will bring his church to that appointed destination, which is to be with him in glory. And we can have total and complete confidence. You know, there has been throughout history, and there still is today, a ton of opposition to the church. There are people today that would love to see the church completely obliterated. But the promise of Christ is, you remember, that the gates of hell will not prevail against his church.
Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics Radio with Pastor Brian Broderson. We'll return next time with more biblical insight from the scriptures. But if you missed any part of this study or you'd like to review it again, you can do so by going to backtobasicsradio.com, click on Resources, then Audio. There you'll find all of Pastor Brian's teachings through the Bible, and you can either podcast, stream, or download for free. If you'd like a CD, you can call us at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message by title or resource number. Today's message is called Our Great High Priest, and the resource number is OBB516. If you have any questions or encouragement, or would like to support this ministry, we'd love to hear from you, and you can contact us directly at backtobasicsradio.com. You can also follow Pastor Brian on Twitter at twitter.com/Brian Broderson. Thanks again for tuning in today, and we pray the Lord continues to strengthen and encourage you in your faith as we study through the Word of God together. Back to Basics Radio is an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.